Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, when we take a stand, as far as in America, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, LeBron, whoever it is, myself, you, whoever it is, that's in our backyard. This is not our backyard. That's one.
No, that's
two
where you get your money.
Two is that 600 million people watching Chinese that's over in China that's watching NBA basketball. 600 million. Wait, 200 million more than America. You're biting them hands. They're feeding you. Stay away from that. Stay away from it. Because if you're so gung-ho, your name would be with Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich when it comes to what's in America. Do you tweet a lot of those things that's in America that's going on? I don't see you doing that. But you tweet those type of things that's maybe uproar and doing X, Y, and Z over there in Asia.
That's Coutinho Mobley. You know what? I wouldn't have a problem with what he's saying, and I've heard a lot of people that say this, so why should the players have any concern with China and the way those people live and the repression that they deal with every single day? Those are American citizens, and they should only talk about Black Lives Matter and police brutality and stuff here in the United States. But Coutinho Mobley is missing the major point. Is that these players are making millions and millions, and the league is making billions of dollars off of that country. That's the point you're missing. So you can't eliminate that.
So yeah, but it's convenient, though.
Yes.
You can convince yourself
you move the goalpost,
that,
it,
yeah,
right?
That, it, that that's not the same. So I know you're being critical of me, but come on, guys. That's China. It's another country. What change can I really do?
Okay, so if you weren't over there and you weren't playing games over there and you weren't collecting all the money and you weren't doing the shoe deals, and by the way, is somebody going to point out the hypocrisy of Nike and some of these other companies?
People have.
Okay, they should be, but that's the difference. If those players weren't doing that and they're playing in the United States and those games had nothing to do, or China had nothing to do with the economy of the for these players and the league, it'd be a totally different story.
But
I think Coutinho Mobley would have a case.
Do you think it is the same, though, when it comes to, you know, big companies that go out there, Nike, who manufactures a lot of shoes, and, you know, all these companies that produce, that import stuff from China, that get it manufactured there? I don't think that's the same.
No, I don't. Again, this is about this league.
And the players, too. And the players taking a really, if you really think about it, a really an opportunistic approach at the subject.
Yeah, and they have one of their GMs go out on Twitter and fight for what everyone in this league puffs their chest about, how they're very concerned and fight for. You know, freedom, democracy, civil rights. And it's just the fact that the league, and that's the thing, like Nike, okay, they do business with them. Again, you know, if this thing never happened, you know, we wouldn't be shredding the NBA for doing business with, China. We don't crush Nike for doing business with China or LeBron James or Steph Curry or James Harden. But one of their GMs tweeted out something that was on the right side, something that they all are emotionally involved in and make us believe that they care about, and now they're running and hiding from it.
So
that's why it's a big issue. It's nothing to do with companies that deal with China. It's this company.
So what they're
the
doing,
NBA.
Right. So what they're doing is they're allowing a communist country, a repressive regime, they are allowing them to shut down free speech in our country. Daryl Morey had to come out and apologize. He backed off those comments as much as he possibly could. Why? Because his owner was pissed off. The league commissioner was pissed off. It was costing their team $1.5 billion. It's costing the league $5 or $6 billion. So it's, you're right, Lou. It's not like you're staying out of it. It was a comment that was made on Twitter, pro democracy in the United States.
In.
So you're telling me that you're going to allow by doing business with China, your business is that important in China, that you're going to allow them to shut your freedom of speech down in the United States? It's ludicrous.
They basically put baby in a corner.
Exactly.
And I thought nobody put baby in a corner, but obviously China does.
And you saw the reaction with China yesterday on the government-controlled television, in which they basically said, and I thought Adam Silver did a much better job yesterday. He came out. He said, we apologize to the people. We love the people of China. But on the other hand, I am going to stand by my guy to have the freedom of speech that exists in the United States. That wasn't good enough for China.
Because
you can't have freedom of speech.
There isn't enough butts for him to kiss to make this go away.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay. So
it's not
how
like
much,
the
how
United
much
States. We've been working under the table.
Yeah, hey, listen, you know what? Hey, we can figure this out. You keep kissing away, and I'll accept your apology.
So we finally heard from Greg Popovich. He was supportive of what the commissioner said yesterday, but he couldn't help himself in turning this one, I believe, on Trump.
Freedom of speech. It felt great again. So he's been a heck of a leader in that respect, very courageous. And when you compare it to what we've had to live through the last 3 years, there's a big difference, big gap there, leadership-wise and courage-wise. It wasn't easy for him to say. He said that in an environment fraught with possible economic peril. But he sided with the principles that we all hold dearly, or most of us do, until the last 3 years. I'm thrilled with what he said. And as I said, the courage and leadership displayed is off the charts by comparison. We've all talked about or heard about all the questions that all the talking heads have and everybody for the last 3 years. What kind of country do we want to be? Who are we? Where do we want to go? That sort of thing. Adam said something that helps you understand what direction you need to go in, rather than the cowardice of not being able to respond to something like the murder of Mr. Khashoggi. And there are many, many incidents like that where it's leadership and courage mean nothing. It's all about personal aggrandizement. So I was thrilled.
All right, so he said nothing about the plight of the people in Hong Kong. He was supportive.
I used to use the word incompetent. Now
he was supportive, obviously, of the commissioner to at least give some support to Daryl Morey, but he couldn't help himself. He talked about the last 3 years. He also talked about the fact that Trump was pretty much a coward, in his opinion, didn't respond to the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, who was murdered. He was murdered in Saudi Arabia and thought by most people think that he was killed by the government in Saudi Arabia. And Trump probably didn't look into it as much as he should have looked at. I'm not going to debate
How
him with
know?
That.
Well,
all I do is work.
Well, it's out there that people believe that. And there might be something to it. I'm not even questioning it. But he can't help himself. So instead of sitting there and dealing with it, that's what people do. So Trump's worse. So that's what we're going to do now. So anytime something comes up like this, but Trump's worse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. All right, what do you say we get to the phone calls?
I like it.
Nick is in Narragansett. What do you got, Nick?
Yeah, I first of all, I completely agree with you guys about the hypocrisy out of the NBA players that refuse to go to the White House, but now they're, because there's money on the line in it for them, they're in support of China, but I wanted to bring up a bigger point and pose a scenario to you that, say China had said something negative towards the United States and Trump had gone and said, you know what, screw you, China, I'm going to take away, some kind of funding from you guys, billions of dollars out of China. Can you imagine the condemnation that would come down from the entire world? And I'm sure the NBA and the NFL would chirp in on it. So it's kind of like a double standard. Imagine if it had been our country that had been doing this and threatening to take away money from, another country, for their words, it would be complete chaos.
Well, I would agree. I think people are being very selective, and yet I am impressed at how many people out there have been extremely consistent on this, and that's why I don't even know where there's a battle. I keep on hear people say, well, this is different. Other people on the other side of the aisle are fear. Nope. I think most people are hand in hand with this one. Julian Castro, Beto O'Rourke, a lot of the Democratic candidates have already come out, and they are condemning what's going on. They're questioning why the players are not standing up. Here's Jay in a car. Hey, Jay.
Yes. Hi, guys. I love your show. So I lived in China for 14 years, so I think I have some...
oh, great.
You know, I have some insights on this. So I kind of agree with Steve Kerr that he said he needed to read up on this issue further to make an opinion. Because I think, like I totally supported the First Amendment, the people's right to freedom of speech and to protest everything. But I think this issue is very complicated because the protest in Hong Kong has been taken over by some anarchists and also some foreign elements based on what I read online. And they want independence from China. I mean, just not to fight for the Hong Kong, the freedom of speech in Hong Kong.
Right. We're having trouble hearing you because of the noise and obviously in the background. You know what a big part of it is? And I was watching some stuff last night with stuff that's coming out of Hong Kong. It's young people. And so there are young people who are protesting. So that happens in this country, and a lot of people are sitting there going, but the young people are making sense. Let's let them talk here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of young people in Hong Kong who I think are probably defying the old regime, the old government. Eduardo.
Wearing a James Harden is in jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Eduardo.
Hey, fellas, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I'm calling as a guy who lived in Asia for about 6 years. And I would say that you know, as we all know, China likes to control the narrative about their country. And, you know, they don't want to look bad globally and they want to be a superpower. Or they are. They want to be the world leader. But it wouldn't look good for China to you know, take the NBA away from its people, which is in essence what it's threatening to do to the NBA. And I say the NBA is an awesome product. It's amazing. It has the leverage. It has done a beautiful job of being diplomatic in this issue, but China can kiss it at this point. Go ahead and take the NBA away from its people and see how popular that goes. It's an awesome product. So I think, you know, Silver's done a great job. And
Eduardo, do you think, again, they're real communists. Do you think if they take the NBA away from their fans, they control the media, they make up stuff in which why they're doing it, you think there'll be an outcry?
I think it'll be known as that kind of country where you go. You know, I've been there, and you know, I don't want to be an international traveler at a hotel in Shanghai and not be able to watch a Celtics game or the NBA finals or you know, if I'm a kid growing up there and I can't wear the coolest stuff that everybody in New York City and Paris and everywhere is wearing. Go ahead, take that away. It's a huge hit to the NBA, but listen,
it's over $4 billion.
$4 billion, but China wants to grow their basketball league. They're desperate to get NBA stars, you know, washed up guys over there. Basketball's super popular. They have tons of people who like it. Look, I'm not saying China can't live without the NBA, but it doesn't look good if they take it away. So go ahead, take it away and see how many people, you know, that attracts to China. I'm not saying that attracts you have tourism based on basketball, but, you know, it doesn't look good. Go for it.
See, I think China.
People are going to go to China for business, and if the NBA is not on television, it's they're going there for a reason, whether it's a vacation or business or whatever it might be, and if there's no NBA, I don't think it's going to ruin your trip.
I'm not sure this is a threat, though. That the China is sitting there saying we're taking this away from you.
They're not going to.
I think that you don't acting, think they're going to take.
No, I think they're acting out, and I think that eventually they're going to say, "Listen, we proved our point."
I think they're going to pull the NBA, scrub it from everything.
I think they might scrub it. I don't know anything about communists. I'm sorry. Imagining that they think like us. They're rational
they're
people.
They're not.
So let me ask
they're
you.
Communists.
This. Let me ask you.
Real
this.
Ones.
If they come back to the NBA and they say, "Okay, we're going to let you back in. All we want is we want you to fire that Daryl Morey, and you have to come out and say that was an inappropriate comment and never should be made by any of our management people." If you're Adam Silver, what do you do?
Tell him to go pound.
That's exactly what he has to do. And the Chinese will sit there and say, okay,
Is there another option?
Fire him from your league, and we'll pay you $4
billion. Right.
Imagine if they fire him for this.
Well, the Ringer had a story that hours after that, the owner of the Houston Rockets was so pissed off that's what he wanted to do, that he wanted to fire him.
Well, he's got a personal financial $1.5 billion just with the Rockets.
So my guess is...
because of Yao Ming and everything else.
Yeah, my guess
huge
is
team
that the league probably stepped in and said, oh, no, dude, let's not do that right now because we'll piss people off. Let's wait. Let's put the finger up. Let's see where the wind's blowing and figure it out. I just think the Chinese are not going to... they're going to want something in return. So what do you give them? If you're sitting there saying, we believe in democracy, we believe in free speech, what do you give them? Amazing. Khashoggi, the journalist, was killed in Turkey by, apparently, Saudis. That was the point I was trying to make, and people have taken me to task, that it was in Turkey. They are correct, by Saudis. And Trump didn't do enough, apparently, to a lot of people. And that was what Greg Popovich was trying to talk about.
Maybe you shouldn't be in the country.
All right, 617-779-7937. We got Teddy Bruschi joining us in 15 minutes.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Getting you back to OMF faster. Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Sports Radio WEEI.
There we go. I like this. Play this for my reads.
I actually like the one you had in the read
I
earlier.
I want to play the air guitar.
You didn't like the one you had in the read earlier?
That one he played could possibly be his worst ever.
All right, we have a leftover call from the baseball conversation. Here's Dean in the car. Hello, Dean.
How's it doing today?
Good, Dean.
Good. You want?
Hey, I'm just calling because first of all, this NBA stuff, nothing pisses me off more than that. But Lou said something an hour ago that pissed me off more than the NBA. Was the Red Sox with their analyticals using this analytical? If these people actually were using the analytics to for the pitching, why would they ever get rid of Kimbrel? Because with 61 save opportunities this year, they blew 27 of them. If we even covered half of those games, we'd be in the playoffs. More than that, we'd be possibly in first place. So you can't tell me it's about the numbers when you gave up the numbers.
No, it is. It is about the numbers, and I'll tell you why. Because their analytic approach to attacking hitters, they feel like they could turn anyone to Kimbrel.
Well, that's what I mean. You can't coach 100 miles an hour. Like, you needed that guy, and you gave up the numbers that guy brought to the table.
Oh, I know, but if Ryan Brazier pitches to the zones and the sequences that we give him that we have thrown in the computer and they popped up, then Ryan Brazier can be as successful because our program tells us so.
Yeah, so wouldn't that be Alex Cora's fault then and the analytic department for not telling Dave Dombrowski about the numbers that they needed for this, though?
You're missing the point. He was replaceable.
But he wasn't right now with 61 save opportunities and 27 blown saves, that's almost a 50% save.
What I'm saying is their numbers tell you it's replaceable. To be honest with you, I think that they, their analytics tell them that as long as people do what the numbers tell them, they can make everybody a closer. They can make everybody a star. Just follow our program.
So then what you're
we don't need Craig Kimbrough. We have
Barnes,
five Craig Kimbroughs right here if they just follow what we tell them.
Right. And we can use different bodies because we don't need one machine. We can use three or four or five different machines. That's the problem. They're treating all of these players like they're machines. And if that's the case, Lou, then why are we wasting our money, $30 million plus, for major league players? Why don't we give the MIT geeks and the Harvard geeks the $30 million? Because if they've got the answer, they've got the solution. John Henry, you got it wrong. Pay the geeks the money. Pay the robots the money.
Again, it's about the extremes. That's all. The numbers are there. You can call them geeks, call them whatever you want, but they've got the numbers that can help, but it's not the only solution.
Is that a little disrespectful?
A little disrespectful.
Okay, I apologize for that.
Sticking up for him.
Can I apologize? I apologize.
Yeah.
Sticking up for him.
Thank you.
You still get a caning.
Earl's in Springfield. Hello, Earl.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Earl.
Hey, long-time listener. Love you guys' show.
Thank you.
What's up?
I just wanted to bring up the issue that I hear nobody talking about the NBA issue. Is there currently players still in China right now?
Some are. A couple teams are out there, yeah.
Okay, so if I was LeBron or anybody like that who speaks out about social issues or things like that, I wouldn't be saying a damn thing until I knew each and every one of those NBA players are back in the United States. Because of the dealing with the communist regime and all types of things like that. These people will probably take your passport, throw you in a communist jail, and you won't hear from them again. And that could trigger a war.
That's actually a good point.
I'm just saying, if I was LeBron, and if I was anybody, and I know my brothers are still in China, I wouldn't say nothing until they got home. And I know that every single player in the NBA is home safe. And then if LeBron doesn't speak out about the social justice, or anybody doesn't speak about the social justice and that's going on in China, I can understand that.
But they're not. But they're not right now. They're being questioned.
Yeah, they're not right now.
No, the players back in the United States.
Right.
So you're telling me that they're not talking right now because they want to make sure that James Harden gets back here safely? Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, anybody in general. I wouldn't say nothing until I know that everything.
No, I get your point.
I agree with him.
I get your point.
He brings up a good point. Like LeBron James is going to speak out against the Chinese government and support of Hong Kong while he's in China?
No, I don't think so. All he has to do is defend.
He's going to shut up and dribble.
But all he, well, Adam Silver's.
Don't offend him.
But Adam Silver has offended the Chinese. They're pissed off that he came out and said that Daryl Morey has the right to express his freedom of speech.
Yeah, they disagree with that.
And they're pissed at that.
You know why?
That's why they're taking all the signs down.
Because they're communists.
Exactly. Real communists.
But here's what I don't want to happen. Because if it does come to a head and finally China scrubs the NBA, takes their money, doesn't pay them, when you guys come back here, I don't want to hear a word from you guys. I don't want to hear then, how we bailed and we did the right thing. We're not going to support what's going on over there. Not after China already bails. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't come over and say, listen, and now act tough in the talks now that they've just blown up in your face. Now start acting tough as far as, how you're proud of the NBA for not getting in a relationship with China.
So
don't do that when you return and this thing blows up in your face.
That's a good point. Do you remember yesterday James Harden apparently not well-versed on the subject?
He loves China.
He loves China. Loves everything about China.
Yeah, we apologize.
I love China.
So today, somebody finally got to him and said, James, terrific, that new move you got, that little step back in the corner, that is great. But do you understand what is going on? Somebody explained it to him. So today, he was a little bit more articulate.
Yeah, we all have freedom of speech. That's the world we live in. You know, everybody should, how they feel and their thought process, be able to speak it. You know, obviously some people are going to feel some sorry, some people are going to agree. That's just the world we live in. I'm here for Adam Silver.
Okay, so a little bit more cohesive in saying that he's supporting free speech. They don't have it in China.
We apologize.
Whatever. He's missing that part of it, but at least he makes a little bit more sense. Now, is he in trouble? Because he's basically pissing him off. He's supporting Adam Silver, and the Chinese
member
are
of the Rockets
at what Adam Silver said.
Yep, free speech, freedom of expression.
Unbelievable.
China will condemn him, too.
I can tell you what, we have free speech when we sit down and talk with our guy, Teddy Bruschi.
No one's going to muzzle him.
Nobody.
We should ask him what he would do if he was in China right now.
I wonder if he feels
threatened. Oh, yeah.
I wonder if he feels a little threatened now that Gronk is getting into the network TV business.
I also want to get his thoughts on Matthew Slater's kind of, this week.
Yeah.
We'll have to play it again for him.
I think he got a B-.
He got a B plus, I think.
B
last
minus.
Week. Was it B minus?
Yeah, last week. All
right, we'll grade it out. Teddy Bruschi coming up next, right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And now on OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
It's Wednesday. It's time for our weekly get-together with our buddy Teddy Bruschi. It's all brought to you by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Teddy, how are we doing this week?
Fellas, I'm doing good. How you doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. We're still waiting
We're still waiting for a competitive
football game, and I think we might have to wait a few more weeks. What do you think?
You know, I agree. You're almost trying to get a good gauge on these guys and you know, put them up against some competition that's going to push them a little bit, at least into the fourth quarter, because that's when you know how good they can be at times, making great plays in situational football. But, I mean, these games, these quarterbacks they're going up against, some of these defenses, it's just not competitive. The Bills gave them a little bit of a game, but still it looks like this Thursday may be the same as last week.
So it seems like the defense is getting most of the attention, and they've earned it. And here come all the comparisons.
And here come all the comparisons,
right? From the 03, 04, you know, that first dynasty that kind of went through. Yeah, and national team, and, you know, historical teams like the Bears, like that Baltimore team.
Yeah.
What do you see that is, I guess, either comparable or different from the way you guys were, that defense was in 03 and 04, and the way they operate now?
Well, I mean, that's really the thing in terms of, what do I see differently? Because, I mean, I was even talking about it last week on Sunday NFL Countdown that I was like, I'm watching them versus the Bills, and I'm seeing them conceptually do things with, you know, the coverages and also with the linebackers standing at the line of scrimmage and then the games, the pick stunts and all that. And I said, well, that was Vrabel. That was McGinnis. That was me right there running that pick. And then, you know, that was Rosie, those type of guys. And I sort of just smile. You know, you get that look when you're watching maybe something that you're familiar with, almost like, yeah, I remember that. That sort of prideful
nostalgic
feeling.
Nostalgic.
It's the same. Yeah. They're just so well coached. And why wouldn't you change things when offensive coaches and offensive lines and new quarterbacks, they can't figure it out? Did it get tougher versus Peyton on the sixth and seventh time when we ended up playing them, because trying to figure out different ways to disguise things and show them different things? But where's that competitive rivalry for this team right now in terms of a team that they play on a regular basis? It's not there. And the quality of, I mean, I'll say quarterbacking, coaching, playing, offensive line play that they're going up against, you can do these things that have been in this system for so long and they can still have success. So it is similar in terms of schemes that I'm seeing.
Yeah, and Teddy, with that, you're talking about, you know, they're on historic pace. It's hard not to bring up who they're playing. I wish Saquon Barkley was playing and Ingram was playing and Sterling Shepard was playing. And I know Daniel Jones is a rookie quarterback, but if you're a defense, don't you want to sort of go up against these guys to kind of see where you are? Because they play not just bad teams, but second, third string quarterbacks to go with it.
Yeah, but you don't mind up beating on people either, Lou.
I hear you.
I mean, it's like, if this is the way it's shaken out, let's just go out there and mow through them, because how many sacks do you got? All right, let's see how many we can get this time, because – you're going up against a quarterback now in Daniel Jones. That's, do I like what I see? Yes. Can he, does he make an effort to get through his progressions? He does, but it's still a rookie effort. And what I mean by a rookie effort to get through his progressions, the time it takes to go from 1 to 2 or from 2 to 3, it takes longer than if Tommy was out there doing it. So the rookie, in terms of that, he'll wait and wait and try to do the right thing. And with that, there is a risk to the way he plays because it is slow, you know. And so that gives that rush, that opportunity to get the sacks, to get the turnovers, to get their hands on the ball while he's still sort of about to throw the ball. I anticipate seeing those type of things happen again where he's just about to throw the ball on Thursday, and then all of a sudden, you know, here comes Collins again, or here comes Van Noy. One of those guys are getting a sack when maybe next year or the year after that, it'll be quicker and the ball will be gone, but Thursday, it won't be.
So you got a lot of playmakers on that defense, Teddy, and they all seem to be playing collectively so well together, and yet Bill is rotating people through there. Got a remark this past week from Michael Bennett when he said he had a zero role on the team. His reps have gone down every single week. Does this become a problem in that you've got so many players that you can rotate in and out of there that are being productive that it does mean if you think you're out there every single down, it's not going to happen. And if a guy starts complaining about it, then we have an issue.
Yeah. Usually those, you can notice those guys, how they're not playing and then they don't have as much reps and you wonder. But when you got that 4-0, that 5-0 mark, I mean, you just look right past it. And those players have to look right past it, too. And I hope Bennett does also, because coming up down the road, he's definitely going to – I anticipate him making big plays for this team. He's still going to be a huge part of it. But when you have a team that's deep, a defense that's deep, and a defense that primarily – maybe they want to use their linebackers a little more at times to generate pass rush. I mean, those defensive linemen sometimes – sometimes they get passed over, but I still think Bennett's going to have an opportunity.
What's your thoughts on Josh Gordon? Because here's a guy that I think is just, it feels like he's underachieving. And I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if he's just one of those guys that just checks out every now and then. But he's got a 54% catch percentage. And I just feel like either he's hurt or maybe he's just not as good as we all thought he was. Like, what's your opinion of him and how he's been playing?
Yeah, I see what you see, Foyer, in terms of, I thought that he would get that, he would catch that, he'd break that tackle, he'd be in the end zone with that.
He'd have a second gear.
Yeah, see a little more speed. But I think with this particular player playing consistently over the 5 games now, a lot of this is new to him in terms of going through the system for an entire year. I don't know. Is there a mental thing where he still has to get used to playing football consistently on a regular basis, going to work every single day? I don't want to make a conclusion on him right now. I mean, it's still early, but I think definitely there's more that he can offer. There's more that he can do. There's more, I think, that he's going to need to do. And once he realizes that, hopefully there's something inside of him that says, you know what, I'm back now, and I need to show everyone who I can be. And because that offense needs a receiver to take that type of number one attitude and just throw it to me and I'll make a play for you. So I'm still going to wait and see a little bit longer on Josh Gordon before I make a conclusion, because maybe till week 8, I'd like to see him in full stride.
You know, Teddy, Tom Brady, I would say on 4 or 5 different occasions here, you know, talking about, you know, young players on a roster, counting on them versus the veterans needing to stand. I want to play something he said last Friday at a press conference talking about, you know, acclimating young players, you know, into this system.
I think one thing we talked about here is just doing our job. So, I mean, I can do what I can do. Everyone player can do what they can do. I can't do anything for anyone else. They can't do anything for me. So a lot of it's just trust and trying to communicate trust and communication so that, you know, I've always said the best teammates are the ones that I have to think about the least.
You know, we always talk about young guys and Tom going to rookies and relying on veterans, but when he says there's nothing I can do to help them, nothing they can do to help me in my job, it sort of seems like he's just pushing the rookies away, maybe screaming for veterans, but pushing the rookies away from working with them.
Yeah, I mean, also applying a little pressure, too. I mean, sometimes, you know, a quarterback can do things in subtle ways that, fellas, if you don't pick it up, I'm not going to throw you the ball. Maybe he tells them directly that. Maybe they can tell by the target selection. But also comments like that, I mean, it's not a good thing. I mean, you're also talking about a 42-year-old quarterback that the only thing that matters is winning a championship. And he's not thinking about – yes, he's thinking about the Giants, okay? But he's also thinking about when it comes down to December, okay, does this player show the potential right now that he could be there for me? And that's where I'm thinking when I hear stuff like that, like maybe he sees that they don't. So is it possible that, you know, you do need to bring someone else in here to not only – get some quality reps and some quality confidence and a relationship with your quarterback, but also, you know, almost tell these guys, I mean, you can't do your job. We're going to bring someone else in, because I think their whole identity, it took a little bit of a hiccup. And Antonio Brown was that. I mean, because you bring him in and you think that, okay, now we're going to start to steer our identity to, we can throw the ball now. We've got one of the best receivers in the game. All right, let's look at him in Miami. Okay, by what we see there, sky's the limit. Let's start to develop. You start to form, and everyone starts to think that's where you're leaning. Then all of a sudden, that piece gets taken away, and then it's like, boom, reset button. Now where do we go? So in terms of like that September we talk about an extension of the preseason and figuring out your identity, well, they thought they had one, and then they had to push the reset button because they didn't anymore. And I don't know if they've ever had that before, that type of problem.
All right, we're talking to Teddy Bruschi. And, Teddy, with that said, talking about maybe the calling, maybe for veterans, the guys he can rely on, were you surprised that Bill Belichick couldn't find a roster spot for Ben Watson?
I was. I was a little bit surprised because I thought that, I mean, that would be – I mean, Bennett, he was going to have rested legs. He was going to come back. You know, Tom Brady, he's got the relationship with Tommy. It's going to be like, okay, there's your little short to intermediate guy. And then, of course, Tom talking about being comfortable with people. There it was. So then it's like, well, what just happened? What just happened? And they didn't. So it's either, I mean, did they like what they see from the other guys that they have? I mean, are they trying to save cap space? Are they anticipating a move that they're going to make? You know, that's just one of the many things that was going through my mind.
Last week we were talking about New England and Kansas City on a collision course. There's a lot more at stake, I think, in the NFC because there are a bunch of teams that could represent them in the Super Bowl. But you watch Kansas City on Sunday night. We talk about the Patriots and their offensive woes, and they're still putting 30 points up on the board. But Kansas City's defense looks like they have major problems. You can run the football at will at them, can't you?
That's true. But let me tell you what you were looking at there in the Indianapolis Colts. That's one of the best lines in the game right there.
No question.
And so, I mean, Quentin Nelson, I mean, Kelly, Lewinsky, Smith, Costanzo, those type of guys, they were just grinding. And if there's one off, I haven't watched, you know, I rarely watch just one player on the offensive line the entire game, but I was watching Quentin Nelson, and he's just slapping people around. He's that good. New England doesn't have that. Okay, if whatever offensive line that they had last year, and that picture you had of Devlin back there and Gronkowski, Trent Brown, you know, that physicality of that's not there. Can they attempt it? They can. But that 6 to 7 yard first down run is now going to be like a 3 to 3.5. That's just the difference. The identity can be attempted, but don't think that by what you saw the Colts do to the Chiefs, it can be duplicated by the Patriots, because I think that's just a different level in terms of physicality and players they have up front. I mean, it's just that players are missing now that identity they had last year. So those Colts, that offensive line is amazing in my opinion.
So is that okay, I'll give you that much, definitely. I think a lot of people were looking at that game going, oh, okay, well, if the Colts could do it, the Patriots can do it because they gave you the blueprint in the first place.
No, they could last year.
So yeah. I guess the question is that Kansas City defense better or worse than they were from last year?
The Kansas City defense, I didn't see any difference based on what I was seeing last week with that Colts game. Now, what you're starting to see against Kansas City offensively now, I mean, you're seeing man-to-man coverage across the board against Mahomes and those receivers. And it's just by the time they get around to a significant game with the Patriots later in the season, and also, I mean, possibly in the playoffs, their main man beater will be back, and that's Tyreek Hill. So you got to understand how special that guy is. I'm not want to talk about him off the field, okay? Just the player. I have not seen speed like that before in terms of long speed and then 0 to 5 speed. Like, boom, he catches the ball, and he's at full speed within like 3 to 4 yards. I mean, he is out. That type of speed is different, and you can tell that they don't have that element of it when all of – so what Mahomes sees is man-to-man coverage. It's tight all the way across. With Tyreek, it's going to be a different window, which he can hit with that arm of his. But it's just tight right now because he doesn't have his main man beater.
All right, so Gronk has decided he wants to follow in the footsteps of Teddy Bruschi and become a big network analyst. His style might be a little bit different than yours. So how do you think Gronk's going to play on TV here?
I hope he's just himself, because I'd watch. I mean, it's just, I mean, being around him and knowing him and just, I mean, hearing about him all the way back to the University of Arizona. I mean, this guy is just, he loves football. And if he can express his love for football as an analyst, he's going to do great. I don't know if I'd see him on a touchscreen or anything like that, working on a diagram and plays or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Not live. Maybe taped. Not live.
sure, but I think it's going to be fun. I think if they know how to use him right and let him just be himself, I think he's going to be great. I can't wait to see him.
We've told you about Teddy's Foundation raising awareness of stroke and heart disease and supporting survivors on their journey. He's got an event coming up Thursday night. You're smart. You're going to watch the game in the confines of the Lenox Hotel, because it's going to be rain and wind, and it'll be perfect. So what's happening over there? What's the big event?
Yeah, I planned that well, didn't I, fellas?
You did.
Yeah, it's for Teddy's team. It's for all the proceeds that go to Teddy's team. I'll be at the Lenox Hotel in their dome room watching the game, watching the Patriots play the Giants, and sort of just thought about in the offseason, and I thought to myself, you know, I watched the game a little bit differently, and you know the way we talk about the games too, and I was thinking, you know, let's do this one night when the Patriots play locally so some of the fans can come by, and I guess I can talk about and try to talk about how the Giants can make it a game, I guess. But I'll just be there talking football, watching the game with everyone there, and it'll benefit Teddy's team. So I'm excited about it.
LenoxHotel.com, where you can visit Teddy's team Twitter account, at Teddy's team, for ticket information. They got pub apps and the Brewski Burger Station. Save us a couple burgers, okay?
Hey, I will, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Okay, see you later.
Teddy Bruschi, right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.